Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland, and I'm going to read a column I wrote for Found in Translation called An Egg Level View of Drone Production. Honeybee males, or drones, are belittled but key members of the colony. They also form a test case for one of the most fundamental questions in animals and plants. When there is a distinction between males and females, how does that come about? In bees, as in many other species, development into males or females is not black and white. There are proteins, or in cases like our own species, entire chromosomes, that help set the stage for a cascade of events that determine sex. Most of the time, a single trigger, or quote, sex-determining factor, end quote, starts the male and female cascades, and these cascades generally result in physically different males and females. Both that trigger and the resulting cascade differ across the tree of life, and it is hard to point to common sex-determining factors across the insects, let alone the cascades that generate males and females more generally. Thus, it was a really big deal 20 years ago when a research group in Germany, led by Martin Baya, won the race to find a plausible sex-determining factor for honeybees. This was in a paper called with Baya, Hasselman, Fondrick, Page, and Omholt from 2003. And the paper was called The Gene CSD is the Primary Signal for Sexual Development in the Honeybee and Encodes an SR-type Protein. Very exciting work. Just this month, that same group closed the circle by demonstrating the key mechanisms by which this factor kicks off drone versus female reproduction in bees. But first, some background. It's staggering to realize that a European priest, Johann Giersen, accurately described the process that leads to male honeybees 180 years ago. He was able to show experimentally that queens which had been prevented from mating were exclusively drone layers. Genes were not a thing then, let alone sex-determining genes, but genetics was soon to be a field. And there's evidence that Giersen's insights and experiments helped trigger the appreciation for how genetic variation leads to the diversity we see within species. His passions included how worker bee body colors reflected both queens and their mates, and his careful work likely planted seeds in the mind of fellow priest and apiarist Gregor Mendel, who was starting to conduct the pea breeding experiments that defined his own legacy. A nice review by Jean Kritsky builds the case for Mendel's likely exposure to Giersen's thinking in science circles of the 1850s and 60s. And this is an article in the American Entomologist called How Apiology Influenced Gregor Mendel's Research. Mendel did not formally acknowledge this assist, and it's unclear whether he would have reached the same conclusions and experiments solo. What is certain is that Giersen got pretty much everything correct about honeybee reproduction, marveling at queen nuptial flights and the abilities of queens to take or leave sperm from those flights as they nurtured their developing eggs. Here's a quote. "The power of the fertile queen, accordingly, to lay worker or drone eggs at pleasure is rendered very easy of explanation by the fact that the drone eggs require no impregnation, but being the germ of life with them out of the ovary, whilst otherwise it would be inexplicable and incredible. Thus, the queen has it in her power to deposit an egg just as it comes from the ovary and as the unfecundated mothers lay it, or by the action of the seminal receptacle, past which it must glide, to invest it with a higher degree, a higher potency of fertility, and awaken in it the germ of a more perfect being, namely a queen or a worker bee." Remember, that's from the 1850s. So, how does recent research close the deal for honeybee sex determination? It was evident that the complementary sex determination, or CSD, gene identified by Baya and colleagues had a highly variable stretch that shows maybe 20 sequence variants in a given population, and 100 overall in the species. If diploid female bees are many hundredfold more frequent than diploid males, which are generally removed by their sisters during development, A gene with this amount of variation fits the bill as the trigger of sex. But how does it all work? Mariana Otte and colleagues from the BioLab used several genetic tricks to show that a mismatch for this one gene between two chromosomes is both necessary and sufficient to generate female bees. They use so-called CRISPR gene editing of fertilized eggs to nullify sections of that variable region. When this happened, bees that would have developed into females were male. They also inserted a polymorphism into drone layer queens, and those queens then produced viable females without being mated. Basically, matches for a tiny region of this one protein were sufficient to bind the protein in ways that changed its effects on the next proteins in the cascade and altered the sex of these bees. If one of those amino acids was mismatched between the two gene copies, the resulting poor binding led to a female cascade. That's a simple mechanism for letting a single gene impact sex determination. And while CSD appears to be unique to certain insects with haploid males, that is, the bees, wasps, ants in particular, it shows an historical similarity to transformer proteins, which are known as key actors in insects with diploid males and females and true sex chromosomes. That is, they have sex determination that is more like our own. How the leap was made from a traditional sex chromosome to species with haploid males is another mystery. In a practical sense, researchers are rapidly determining variation at CSD across populations of all sizes. There is a cost to colonies when queens are mated to males with matching CSD alleles. Even though many such diploid males are purged early in development, the initial effort to raise them and patchy brood patterns can both weigh colonies down. Knowing the exact mechanism by which variation works at this locus allows for accurate screens of breeding stock and larger commercial apiaries to see where adding fresh genes might improve productivity. It's also really neat to think that every cell of a worker bee or queen in your colony carries a tiny genetic difference at one of the thousands of her proteins that defines her life. Thank you for listening. Happy beekeeping.